Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Push My Buttons Games podcast, episode 57. It's me. It's Luke. I'm here. And I'm joined with some of our regular hosts and a special guest. So we'll go through the regular hosts first, and we'll start with the Dungeon Master himself.
Hey, what's up? It's me. I'm here. I'm alive. Baltimore is good. East Coast is good. Elden Ring is kicking my ass.
And then we have Captain Platinum.
Hey, everybody. Captain Platinum here. Hanging out in Utah where the sun's shining a little bit, plus a little bit of rain on the way home. And then probably some snow in a few minutes. And
then tornadoes, some lightning. And then a tornado, you know.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And Mr. Priceless?
Yo, what up? Just doing nothing.
Yo, what up?
Not good at it.
Yeah, these introductions, like, unless you know, after a while of hanging out with Luke, it's hard to do the introductions just like off the cuff.
Yep, you'll get it though. It's all.
I mean,
part
I'm not
fun.
Like a talkative person as it is. So.
I could have introduced you as the human embodiment of Shadow the Hedgehog.
That's true. I wouldn't have been against that.
There you go. So the next time you can use that one. And we have a special guest with us today. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, it's going to be tough to follow up Priceless there, but my name is Urs, and I'm a Twitch streamer, and I know some of the folks here. So yeah. Hello. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a fun show.
He's got the highest audio quality, too. You can obviously...
Oh, yeah.
Obviously tell you're the Twitch streamer. Hey, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
So we got a good show. We're going to hit some news stories, some Elden Rings. Let our Elden Ringers go through some of their experiences, you know, like we do. Because it's always new. Every week, there's a new Elden Ring experience.
There is, yep.
Got some Sonic the Hedgehog goodness coming as well, because I got to go see the film a little bit early, so I'll have a little bit of insight on that without spoiling anything. But first,
did you sign an NDA?
No, because it was
like a team screen,
like an hour after I got out of the film was when what do they call it? Basically, the wait to put your review was done.
The embargo.
An hour. Yeah. The embargo. That's the word. Yep. So okay, it was down. So I'm good.
I was going to say, I saw IGN posted their review already somewhere. Mm-hmm. So and I know it's out that they can do their reviews.
Yeah. Before we get going, I got to tell you something crazy that happened to me today. I was at my normal human job today. And we got power lines that, you know, run across the street and over the street like, you know, power lines do. And some guy with a massive sign that he was taking to the, you know, people that repair signs was driving under it. And he didn't quite have enough clearance. And he blew all the breakers on all the power lines up and down the street.
Oh no.
And I happened to be outside when it happened.
That sucks.
And I was like, whoa, I just watched it happen. There's nothing I could do, but it was pretty freaking cool. That guy was having a bad day though.
Tell me he had the sign out that said overhead power lines or something and you could see it.
No, that would be great. But I think it was like one of those giant signs that sit up and rotate like outside a restaurant or something like that. Because not only did he hit it, it fell over and shattered in the street.
Ugh.
And I said, oh, my man's having a bad day. Mondays, I really wanted to go up to him. Like, Mondays, am I right? But a little more tacky.
He probably would have docked you across the face, man.
Probably. I don't know. He was a little older. I might be a little more spry.
Someone's so get got away a case from him. Of the Mondays.
That would have been the worst time to say that, but yeah. So that was my day. How have you guys been? How was your weekend? How was your Monday going?
I may be getting a new job pretty soon. I don't know. That's new for me. Mm-hmm. I played a little bit of Elden Ring this morning, but oh shit! I just fell off a cliff.
and right now.
So
live death updates.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, things are going pretty good for me.
Overall, it was a pretty good weekend. I finished the game I was gotten, got my 68th platinum, and it was WrestleMania weekend. So
yeah,
I actually tuned into that. I thought they actually put on a pretty good show overall.
Did you see the WrestleMania, what was it, last year, where they had a completely empty audience and they didn't change the script at all?
It was 2 years ago. Yeah, two years ago with the start of COVID.
2 years ago. Yeah, that was really that was really odd and awkward. That was the year Chelsea got me into it from our friends at Chelsea. Yeah. Go to Hell.
Yeah. Speaking of, I actually talked to her right after, I think it was the first day, because it was 2 days, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Something about, was it Logan Paul or Jake Paul and a Pokemon card?
Yep. Logan Paul came out with a Pikachu Illustrator card. Yeah.
And she said she would have hated it, but he actually didn't do a bad job.
Yeah, he actually, I thought, did pretty well, like, for like what he does for a career and being a guest at WrestleMania. Yeah.
I think all the talent they had, all the just like the sports entertainment talent, the people that are just celebrities, they had actually had coached them up pretty well. Like Pat McAfee, his whole segment was excellent. It was top class entertainment.
See, I was thinking about, because I've seen one in person wrestling, and that was when I was in junior high, but that was like the highlight for me. So I got, it was like Triple H and X-Pac tag team match. And then like Kane and the Big Show. And then the headliner was the Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I was like, I feel like I kind of tapped out a little bit at a good point.
I don't know if the lineup has changed that much.
I know one of them's retired.
Well, they keep on coming back. That's the thing. Like, Undertaker, he's still, I mean, you can't really call it a fight, but
I thought he just got, like, inducted into, like, the Hall of Fame. Doesn't that mean you're done?
No. Usually,
or does that not mean anything in wrestling?
Anything.
Oh, all right.
Edge was inducted, like, 7 years ago, and he's back wrestling.
Yeah.
Because they canceled Vikings.
Depending on how good your health is and like how bad they want people to make fun of you, they may put you in like kind of a choreographed fight where it's like produced by right, as a show, kind of. That's what they did with The Undertaker 2 years ago. And he hasn't fought.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The AJ Styles match. Yeah. That's actually really enjoyable.
Is that where the meme came from?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I know that. Where you're standing behind him. All right. All right. That's a good meme. That's a great meme. Yeah. Undertaker was my favorite as a kid, especially in the old games, like the WWF games, like the WrestleMania games. He was always my favorite. And then like you'd get to create your own character, and I literally just made me as if I was the Undertaker, so I was tall and didn't have long hair.
Yeah, he in his retirement speech or his Hall of Fame speech, he said like never say never. And I think that's because like the Saudi prince can just show up and throw like $5 billion at him.
Right, right.
that retirement means nothing at that point.
Is that why Goldberg keeps coming back?
Yeah, pretty much. Just keep throwing money at him.
It's like, do your knees still work? Kinda. Bring him in.
Like, watch Matt Hardy walk to the ring on an AEW, right? and you're like, oh my god, dude! Like, you can probably retire.
Is he doing backflips and everything still?
Jeff
Hardy,
his
brother, does. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You gotta wonder what that guy's back looks like.
Right. Right. How many rods are in there? Titanium things just holding him together. Oh man.
Last WrestleMania thing, if you guys want to move on, but I want to. Urs, what did you think of Johnny Knoxville? Just curious.
I thought that the whole match was hilarious.
Whoa, it was.
Yeah, it
Johnny
was
Knoxville?
In a full Wee Man superhero. Yeah, like a full superhero suit, right?
Yeah.
Wee Man picked up Sami Zayn and body slammed him, and that was incredible. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, the table with all the mouse traps on it. And
yeah, it was perfect. Yeah,
it was.
I had a lot of fun with it. And not to make this a wrestling show, but AEW has made WWE better, so competition always a good thing.
Yeah, yep, it is.
Agree.
I need to go watch it now. I had no idea Johnny Knox. I just got off of I just saw Jackass Forever, and which if you haven't seen, you should definitely go see it. And so I'm kind of on a Johnny Knoxville kick right now, watching some of his old stuff. I'd love to see him wrestle.
That's on Peacock. So if you have Peacock, you should be able to watch it.
What was the movie that Johnny Knoxville did?
Bad Grandpa.
The Ringer.
No, The Action Ringer. Point? That's it. Yep. Nope. The Ringer. Got it. I watched that one time and I was like, wow.
Yeah, that did not age well. I don't.
It could not be made today. 100%.
Did not age well.
But the line from that still gets me is, when the fuck did we get ice cream? Like, that gets me every single time. It's good. What about you, Urs? What'd you get into this weekend?
WrestleMania as well, and I was Elden Ringing for like the last month, hardcore.
Mm-hmm. Was the only light you saw the white screen of Bandai Namco?
Right, blinding white light. Yeah, it's pretty good. I've seen that meme. But yeah, it was a big push to get Elden Ring done, and then we found ourselves with about a week of streams to fill. And we ended up moving to Far Cry 6. So I've been trying to get that done before Lego Star Wars, which is releasing right as we're recording this. So lots of Elden Ring and lots of Far Cry 6. So
cool.
Yeah. And WrestleMania, of course.
What about you, Mr. Priceless? You've been.
So I actually played a little bit of like a couple of different games. So I played Elden Ring, got really sad because I kept dying and couldn't like really go anywhere. Started playing the Final Fantasy VII remake. Little bit into that. And then due to our like discussion last time about which is like probably the better racing game, I did say Sonic Adventure 2. I did start playing the Sonic Team Racing this weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I will say that's gotten way up my list.
I'm telling you, I will die on this hill that the Sonic racing games are better than the Mario racing games.
And I will now agree with you because I feel like there's some challenge with like the Sonic games. Like you literally have to have like coin like rings or you're like not making through any of those courses.
Yeah, and I got about halfway through that game before I actually read the tutorial that said get rings to go faster, so that was fun.
Yeah, I got through at least like one of the four course matches before I was like, wait, you have to have rings this entire time? No wonder I got like ninth place the entire time.
Yeah. And that game really does encourage you to play with other humans because you have your whole team. Depending on where they place is where you place in the end of the race.
Right.
So stupid Knuckles always coming in last. It's because he's thick.
Is that the one with Danica Patrick as like a...
No, that was All-Star Racing Transform, but that one was also my jam.
Was that the Vita one?
No. I played it on Xbox.
Okay.
But that one was awesome because you could transform between the car, a plane, and a boat on the track, depending on what route you took.
Oh, so you could transform during it, not like Diddy Kong Racing where you had to choose, I think, at the start, right?
Right. Yeah. There's parts where everyone transforms. There's parts where like you can take a jump and everyone else is a boat and you're a plane, but you have to hit a jump just right. It's a lot of fun. And that one was like all the tracks were different Sega games. So you had one from like Knights. You had one that was Afterburner. You had a couple Sonic levels. It was awesome.
Yeah, well, and luckily I got to play that because it was one of the games on PlayStation Plus this last month. So,
oh, the
All Star, the new one, Team Racing. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that one. All right,
that's the only reason I started Final Fantasy VII because it was a free game like within the last couple months. So.
All right, so let's jump into the news stories, and Captain Platinum, you sent me one about Nintendo fighting back against Joy-Con drift lawsuit.
Yeah, I happened to find that today when I was taking a quick break.
Give us a little rundown on, on what that was.
I clicked the wrong story.
You clicked the wrong link. Technical difficulties.
It's a bullshit thing that Nintendo is like saying that they can get away with it.
Yep. Yeah.
Because I have four Joy-Cons that are drifting, and it's just pissing me off.
Yeah.
I spent more money on controllers than I do games.
Absolutely, and I will join the four drifting Joy-Con club as well. My son has he's got a classic Wii or a We classic Switch and all of his Joy-Cons drift. We sent two in for repair, and they've come back, and they are drifting again. And we have a repair kit that we ordered off Amazon that's just on standby now. So, yeah, in that club as well.
Nintendo, yeah. Come on, man. And we were just talking about this before we were recording. Nintendo hardware, up until this, has been pretty solid.
Yeah, well, we were recounting, and we couldn't think of any other bad piece of hardware. I mean,
not the Wii U controller.
I didn't have. It wasn't great designed, but
I didn't have any wrong with it.
There was no drift or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, we mostly never sent the condoms with them at first, so you had to mail in for those.
See, and we were talking about those N64s. We used to destroy those things. And they still work, even if the stick didn't, it was just kind of limp and just laying to the side after a few vicious rounds of Mario Party.
I do remember.
Still worked.
I do remember. Just we're talking about hardware. SNES, when Street Fighter II came out, we burned some controllers. Just smashed them, just from play. And I remember having to open up a few Super Nintendo controllers, but overall. Pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. So back to the article. Did you click on the right page, Mr.
I had it. Yeah, Nintendo is basically just, it says Nintendo has claimed that children cannot sue the company because they, quote, allege no cognizable harm to themselves, end quote.
That is lame. That's like saying, no, you can't sue me because we didn't deliver on a product. Oh, no. Yeah. It's that's like saying, no, you can't sue us even though we didn't deliver on a product because, like, our product doesn't hurt kids. That's bullshit.
Yep. And then they also said, in addition, Nintendo's defense cited that the end user license agreement, the EULA, that Switch users must acknowledge before using the system states that they must be over the age of 18 to accept. So arbitrators have actually ruled in favor of Nintendo and claimed that the mothers representing the children in question cannot proceed with a class action lawsuit.
I'm sorry. I just died in Elden Ring, so I'm just using the anger.
Just fueling your rage.
South Park did an episode on this bullshit about, like, not reading the contracts, right? It was the Human Centipede episode where they sewed all the kids' asses to each other's mouths and made, like, the centipede. So, like, the joke behind that was you didn't read the contract, so we get to do this to you, which isn't a defense for a company because that's like an actual tactic that they use to avoid lawsuits, and it shouldn't work. You can't expect parents to spend 20 hours going through
And understanding the legal
stuff. Like, no, it's got to be done in clear, like, concise language.
You just think a company like Nintendo would just act in good faith. I mean, like, they have the market share for that age group. Like, just fix the controllers and own it, man.
Yeah.
Well, I
don't know.
Plus, they used to be, like, really good at, like covering, like, issues, like, because literally they would have, like, they're like, hey, call this number and we'll, like, take care of everything for you. But now they've just become really...
Yeah, back in the day, you used to be able to call Nintendo if you got stuck on a game, and they would walk you through it. How far we have come.
I want to say I noticed it, Nintendo starting to cut corners when I got 3DSs for my kids, and then, like, they didn't come with, like, chargers. I was like, what? It was just like the cable.
Oh, yeah, that was like the new brick. XLs or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was pissed about that when I bought
it. Yeah, I opened the box, and, like, my kid's like, how do I charge it? I'm like, are you serious? Like, wow, Nintendo.
I generally thought they like didn't put it in that box. I was like, holy hell, like, they missed my charger. What the heck? And I was like, oh, wait, not included. I'm like, God damn.
Yeah, you type it into Google, and it's like, oh, this is the whole thing. Yeah.
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 So, sticking with Nintendo, we also saw that Breath of the Wild 2 was delayed to 2023. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I don't know why we expect it any different. If it's not on a Nintendo Direct, then we shouldn't be expecting it anytime soon at all. because normally they're pretty good at releasing games within 6 months of like showing it on the Direct. At least I don't think I'm wrong on that one. But we haven't seen anything. We just know it exists. So I'm not surprised that it's not all the way to 2024.
Wow, yeah. I know they've shown a little bit of footage, but very, very little when they announced that it was going to be 2022. And I think everybody's probably thinking November. That's kind of where I was falling. It'd be like that Pokemon slot, like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. You know how there's usually like a big Nintendo game right before Thanksgiving? I think that's where they were aiming for, is my guess. And I'd rather they, you know, do it right and push it out till January or March of next year. My guess would hopefully be March, and then that's 6 years after the Switch launch, because it launched on 3/3 of, was it 17? Yeah, it's 5 years. So
yeah, see, I'm in the boat of just, you know, give me a good game. Just, yeah, you know, I'll wait. And maybe all this extra time they'll give me the option to turn off the weapon breaking system.
There you go.
Which I is not a fan of in Breath of the Wild.
That's what stopped you from finishing it, right?
Yep.
Was the weapon breaking?
It was just too frustrating, because it's like I'd swing weapons, especially at the beginning of the game, like you're swinging weapons and they're breaking like two swings, and then you're like, oh, I got to pick up another club. Two or three swings, broken. Hold on, let me pick it. Oh, I can't carry any more clubs. Great, awesome, cool. Yeah, that was one thing I was not a super fan of. But
you guys have seen that meme where it's like the Elden Ring. It's like, you don't want to make this game better. Weapon deterioration. It's like, no.
Well, yeah, listen,
we already have our guys pulling their hair out. Do we want to add to that?
I did go on a walk with my son. Right, we were walking the dog right before this podcast. Breath of the Wild. He's 11. Breath of the Wild is his favorite game, and I did break the news to him. Like, well, it just got delayed. Dad's doing a podcast, and I just learned that it got delayed. He's just like
devastated.
Really? And then I gave him the whole like, well, you know, would you rather have, you know, a game that launches that's just crap and it's not good, and they have to go back and do all these things to fix it? Would you rather wait just a little bit longer and have them make an amazing game? He's right. Like, yeah, all
right,
Dad.
Right.
How
right.
old is your son?
He's 11.
Okay, so a year might as well be his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So
he was not happy. He was just like, "Are you serious?" I'm like, "Well, yeah." And it's like, when I was a kid, man, like it just came out when it came out. Like we would hear about it, like coming out, like the what's coming soon,
and then you'd see maybe a commercial.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh yeah.
It's time.
You feel like GamePro mentioned it like last month that it'll be out in 2 months.
Nintendo Life magazine says
Nintendo Power. Nintendo Power.
Oh man. But kind of as a little segue on broken games. You guys know everyone's favorite broken game, Battlefield 2042.
Yep. Everyone's favorite right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. So they are in pre-production of the next Battlefield game already. And they are saying that they learned, quote, valuable lessons from 2042 and will no longer be using that game as the new foundation for the long running or for the like the future of the franchise.
What engine did 2042 use? Was it
was DICE? Frostbite? I think it was Frostbite, yeah.
And they're going to use, are they going to use a different engine for the next iteration of it?
I would, because Frostbite was, I believe, DICE. I think DICE was the one who built Frostbite. I could be wrong.
That's the correct.
Yeah. Okay. They might, they might go to Unreal like everyone else seems to be doing.
What was Fallen Unreal Order on? What was Respawn used for Fallen Order?
I don't know.
I think it was not Frostbite, if I remember correctly. I think it might have been on Unreal. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure they use a different engine, yeah.
Well, we talked about this in the last episode about EA is going to be using, or rather BioWare, which is...
It was Unreal 4.
Yeah, BioWare is going to be using the new Unreal engine for Dragon Age, the upcoming Dragon Age game. No, it was Mass Effect. The new Mass Effect game is going to have the new engine.
Wasn't it?
Yes. That's what it was. I mean, They also said that they're looking at the analytics of Battlefield, and because when you get into it, you can go play like the Battlefield, like I think that it's called Classic. I can't remember exactly, but it's got like the original. It's got Battlefield 3, Battlefield 4, Battlefield 1942. Those are played over 60. Was it? Oh, get out of the way. 67% more than their main game. So everyone's just playing the old stuff.
Well, I mean, like if it's just better. In every single regard.
Yeah.
Battlefield is a game, is one of the FPS games I kind of wanted to try. I remember the last big one that came out, was it Battlefield 5 that had like a World War II aesthetic, but they threw in like cyberpunk stuff?
Well, not so much, more like steampunk, I guess, like in certain things. But I, you know how I am with story, single player, that's my jam. Right there. Right. So Battlefield 1 and Battlefield 5 had great stories. And those were the two previous ones to this one. So Battlefield 1 was the World War 1. And then the Battlefield 5 was World War 2 because, you know, confusing. but they had these things called war stories that were, it wasn't like a continuous campaign. It was like a five, maybe six mini campaigns that told one big story. Like, and it was all over the place. Like there was some was in Norway and then you were in North Africa and then you're in Germany and then you're in Italy and then you're in France. And they did such a good job with it. And that's why I played the Battlefield games. And then they just got rid of it. And they were like, it's the future and climate change sucks. And the game's broken, by the way.
Yeah, I was really surprised because you don't jump on hype on hate trains, and you really hated the game.
Yeah, it's just wasn't it wasn't great. Wasn't great. And then, like, I keep hearing, you know, patches are making it better and making it better, but it's still not. You know, it's not what everyone wanted it to be.
Urs, what's your I guess favorite type of game to play? Do you jump into FPSs at all? Have you played 2042?
I have not played 2042. Probably the closest thing I've played is a lot of Battlefront 2. I'm a Star Wars fan, so that's probably the FPS that I play most. I did spend a lot of time in like PUBG and things like that, doing the whole battle royale thing. But I'm sort of like a lot of you guys, where I'm more of a single player. You know, I'm 42, so it's me to do competitive FPS scene is it's sort of toxic. Oh, yeah. And it's sort of not great for me, especially when streaming. I find the pace of just like a single player campaign mode is just a little bit more enjoyable for me and my community.
Right, and yeah, that's I play games for the story, not the like I know. Captain Platinum, it's in his name. That's getting platinum trophies is what he likes to do. That's how he enjoys games. That's awesome.
I'm a completionist. What can I say? I like to get my trophies.
That's awesome.
And I'll play through a game on baby ass baby mode just to get the story. And like, that's why I love stuff like New Game Plus. So I can play through, say, God of War, right? On just the story difficulty. And I get the story and I love it. Then I'll go start a new game plus and I'll crank up the difficulty and I'm like, all right, cool. Now I can challenge myself now that I know it's a game I'm going to like rather than punishing myself from the very beginning, which is what you Elden Ringers apparently like. So yeah. And I guess that's a pretty good segue to talk about this Twitch streamer beating Elden Ring without damage of any kind, and then to get your guys's thoughts on Elden Ring. So first off, what do you guys think about the beating Elden Ring with zero damage?
I don't know the details of that run. Did he gain any levels or?
I mean, he speed run. It looked like I just kind of was perusing it. It looked like he cleared it in like a couple hours.
I think it said 3 hours.
Yeah, 3 hours. And he was just basically, he was not taking any fall damage. Like, he's just done this game He's just got it memorized, and he's just like got every fight memorized, and he knows how to just.
I don't understand that. I cannot conceive of that, because in the time that we've started talking about Battlefield 2042, I have died three times to Rykard, Lord of Blasphemy, and I don't understand how you can go through this entire game not getting a single damn hit. That's almost part of the fun. Like, for me, when it comes to Souls games, is like figuring it out. I don't see how you can memorize the bosses and the landscape to a point where you can avoid all types of damage. So I'm just absolutely shocked. I'm picking my jaw off the ground.
So right he now. Said that he's done similar hit runs in other From Software games like Sekiro. Said he spent over 130 hours just trying to attempt the no hit, no damage run. So it wasn't like he sat down and just did it one time.
Right. Yeah. Obviously.
So he ended up putting 130 hours to get that 3 hour.
But even 130 hours is impressive. Most Elden Ring runs that I have seen, they range from like 80 hours to 120 hours for a single playthrough. Right, because people are going about it slow and everything. But that means within the span of a normal player's playthrough, he got good enough to be able to do a 3 hour run, no hit. And it's like,
crazy.
It's just nuts. It's like within the space of a single playthrough. Like, that's insane that it only took him 130 hours.
And he did the 3 hours while streaming live, too. So... Urs, you'd probably have to be able to talk to a little bit more. Is that easier or harder than playing by yourself? You know, like I stream, but I might get one person on there and for a minute or two.
I imagine for this guy, if I'm just like putting myself in this insanely sweaty player's mind, like he's probably gone through and he knows exactly which bosses he's got to beat in order to clear the game in its fastest. And he's probably just like broken those down into individual like groups or segments and said, okay, for this segment, this is exactly how I need to run it. And he's probably just practiced that so many times on and off stream. He's probably just all he's done. And then he just goes live and tries to do it live and be a world first.
It's the evolution of the guys that used to draw on the Donkey Kong screens.
Yeah.
He did say he used a dexterity intelligence build, and his main weapon was the Moonveil Katana.
That's exactly my build.
He also uses a spell called Rock Sling to help clear out mobs in certain areas of the game.
That's funny. I know exactly what he's doing. I don't have Rock Sling, but I'm looking for it. So, because that's my build. I'm a dual wielding Moonveil Katana samurai, and that build is a lot of fun.
So I did Katana as well, and I don't even think I got the Moonveil, but I got like the Uji Gataki or something like that.
Yeah, the Uchigawa, that's the one that I dual wield with.
And then I got Millennia's Hand. When you get to Millennia, you get her katana. And then so I did the Uji Gataki or whatever it's called, and Millennia's Hand. So yeah, dual wield katana. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's a fun build. It's not necessarily overpowered. I've seen some crazier builds. I just died in a single shot. I've seen some
crazier...
Put it
on the board.
Yeah, I've seen some crazier builds that are just absolutely insanely powerful. But I feel like the Moonveil Katana build, dual wielding katana samurai, is just the perfect mix of like magic and physical. Because like Luke, you hate magic of all forms and all fantasy. Even in our D&D games, you were a barbarian.
Yep, yep. No need for all that magic-y stuff when you have a big axe.
So this particular build, Moonveil, or dual wielding katana, the whole point of it is to amplify your physical abilities. You don't really focus too much on spells unless you want to slant that way.
Right.
So that makes sense to me why this guy would use that. It's kind of an easy build to start if you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. So they asked him whether he was going to take it easy and just, you know, play the game for fun now. He said his next goal he is working on is a all remembrances no hit run.
What's that?
The Remembrances.
Oh, yes. Yep. Oh, yep. Yes.
Yep. All okay. Those. And No Hit at the same time.
That's nuts. Okay.
Yeah. We're just in. So, like, we did this game on stream. We wrapped it last week. We had a death counter, 1,108 deaths. This guy's not even taking damage.
Like, right.
It's so insane.
He's god tier.
Yeah. I mean, you just love it, though. Like this is, I don't know, man. For me, this is a top five game for me all time. I mean, it's up there, and just it brought back a lot of memories of, like, how games used to be. And I just love it for the fact that it was just a $60 price tag. Didn't have any weird, like, social narratives going on with it. It was just play the game, kill some big monsters. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different ways you can approach the game. So, I don't know. It's been so long since I played a game like this where it was just, like, a challenge for me to see. No, this is my first Souls game. So,
oh, you should play Bloodborne, man.
Yeah. I've heard you. A lot of people swear by it.
Yeah, yeah, it's so Bloodborne. I think Elden Ring may have taken the title of my favorite Soulsborne game. Bloodborne was definitely in my top 5 or 10 favorite games of all time. But I think it got knocked off by Elden Ring. But Bloodborne is just a completely different aesthetic. All the other Soulsborne games, they're not open world, but the level design is such a way to make it feel like an open world.
Right.
It's just really expertly done.
Yeah, I'm in love. I mean, this immediately went to top five for me. I mean, it's an all-timer for me.
There was a story, an article I remember reading when Dark Souls, I think it may have been 2, or maybe it was Dark Souls. Demon Souls had come out by that point. And so maybe it was Dark Souls coming out that this article came. But Miyazaki, the guy who is the lead designer of these games, he got the idea of the story structure of all these Soulsborne games, which is a very difficult story to find. There are segments in there. You really have to kind of do your research to figure it out. He got it from playing English role-playing games because he didn't understand the language, but he got little segments of it to know a little bit of what was going on. And he felt like if he tried harder, he would get more of the story, but there was enough story that was there that was serviceable that he enjoyed. And so he designed the games like that to the point where the story is there when you're looking for it. But if you're not, it's just a game to play.
And that's a great read on it, man. Cause that's how I felt. Like, I was just like, I couldn't even tell you, like, we're the Tarnished. We ain't got no maidens. Like, you know, like, and all the memes that you see, it's just like, I don't know really what's going on with the story, but, you know, I'm having fun. I'm not too. And then I see, like, posts on, like, TikTok or whatever, and they're like, wait till you read, like, General Radahn's lore. It'll change your life. And it's just like,
oh, yeah.
I got to go read this stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait to go through this game a second time, but, like, knowing the lore, because then it changes your approach. Mm-hmm. In Dark Souls, I played through that game on my second time after I learned the lore. I ended up creating, like, a dragon-based warrior because of the lore and the story that it kind of goes with. Like, you kind of find out the history between the gods and the dragons and how they were enemies throughout all of time. And I was like, you know what? I want to fight on the dragon side. And so you can go and find the Dragon Covenant.
That's awesome.
Do a bunch of stuff. And it's just the way how you interpret the events of the game that kind of makes it great.
There was a particular part in Elden Ring. I don't want to be spoiling it for anybody, but basically you get a summon early in the game, the jellyfish. You guys don't know what I'm talking about. And there's a point late in the game where he's got like this random little side quest. And if you're not paying attention, you could easily just, you know, kill it or ruin it. But if you do pay attention, it's just this heartfelt moment. It's just like, if I wouldn't have known that, like, I would have felt really bad if I'd killed this thing. You know, mm-hmm. It's just great. I don't know. It's fantastic.
And Priceless, you said you started playing it as well, right?
Yeah, I've started playing it here. I think I bought it like not even a week after it came out, but I haven't gotten a lot of chance to like really dive into it.
What did you decide to, what build are you going with or weapon class?
So I went with like the most common one that everyone, just because, you know, I went with Samurai just because I like the combat setup and whatnot. So
yeah, that seems most people that I hear seem to go with Samurai.
Oh, nice. That's what I chose last night too.
it's just fun. Cause you, it kind of gets a little bit into all the physical stats, and leaves kind of magic in the dust, but you're not super behind in magic to completely avoid it through your playthrough. I don't know. People just kind of like the aesthetic of the samurai too.
Well, and my thing too is like, I've never really been like a big, like magic user. Cause I've played like Dark Souls 2 and Dark Souls 3 and like throughout like any of those games, like I've usually just been like major physical fighter, not so much magic style.
Mm-hmm. So. See, for me, it was like, I'd see like a video on like someone doing some cool magic and I'm like, I got to do that. Like that looked neat. Like, and I just love how you can just go respec. You go, you know, if you want to go you can do it immediately. And like, you can see if you like it.
That is something I really like. That's a change in the series that wasn't in previous games. You did not have the ability to respec before Elden Ring.
So I think you could. It's just you had to do like, I think you had to get to like a certain part of the game before you could. Like, I know like they had like a part where you could like, if you found like a coffin and like you spent souls, you could change gender to. I don't know what, but I think there was a certain points of the games you could like go and like respect, but you had to pretty much like give like everything up.
Yeah, this one, it's like you got to get to Raya Lucaria Academy, and that's like how many hours did you guys say? Probably.
If you go straight there, I think you can get the average person could probably get there in 20 hours, maybe.
Yeah.
Unlock that feature. Bad.
Yeah.
I feel like that's reasonable. That's a good amount of time to invest to see if you like what you chose and then be able to change. Mm. Does it cost anything to change, or can you just change for free?
You got to get these like larval tier things that are on like, they're like mini elite world bosses, kind of. I don't know.
Yeah.
Elite mob.
They're kind of rare, but you'll run into at least a couple. So you should be fine.
Okay. In 160 hours, I probably respect 15 times. And I think there was only at one point where I was like, I need to go find a larval tier. So take that for what you will.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on. We got the long-awaited PlayStation announcement of their new tiers that they're going to be charging for the different levels of PlayStation Plus. I lost the date of when this is going into effect.
I think it starts in June. I don't know if they've given the official date. I think it's just sometime in June, right?
Okay, so first we have the PlayStation Plus Essential, which is pretty much exactly what PlayStation Plus is right now. The two downloadable games a month, discounts, cloud storage for saved games, online multiplayer. And that's staying the same price as it's always been, the $9.99 a month, $24.99 quarterly, or $60 for the year. But then what they're adding is there's PlayStation Plus Extra. And that one has everything from the Essential tier, which is what we all have now. But it is adding, this one adds a catalog of up to 400 of the most enjoyable PS4 and PS5 games, including blockbuster hits from PlayStation Studios and a catalog of third-party games. Games in the extra tier downloadable for play. So that one is $14.99 a month, $39.99 quarterly, and $100 for the year. And then their big one is the PlayStation Plus Premium, which is includes the stuff from the other tiers. Then it adds up to 340 additional games. And this is including PS3 games available via the cloud, a catalog of classic games, both streaming and downloadable from the PS1, PS2, and PSP. It offers cloud streaming access for original PlayStation, PS2, PSP, and PS4 games. It's basically kind of including PlayStation Now is kind of rolled into this new tier. They have time limited game trials that will also be offered, so customers can try selected games before they buy them. This one is $17.99 a month, $49.99 quarterly, and $119.99 yearly. So with all of that stuff out, PlayStation peoples, are you going to change anything, or are you just sticking with your PlayStation Plus the way you have it right now?
For me right now, I would stay where I'm at in just the normal tier. And plus, I usually try to find it like Black Friday. And I think the last time I bought PS Plus, it was $32 for the year. So hopefully you can do something like that with this. The last thing with that premium tier, it says you're going to stream the games using PS4, PS5, and PC. There is a triple asterisk. So that is going more towards Game Pass. So I don't really game on my gaming laptop, though. I'm usually playing on my PS4 or PS5, which I'm in that habit now. Is I actually turned on my PS4 over the weekend just to make sure it was updated to the latest, because I hadn't turned it on in probably a year because I barely use it. Yeah, it looks like PS3 games are only available via cloud streaming, so no download, which I found to be interesting. But some of the other stuff, it sounds like you can have download options for the others. So I think it's kind of like the new Nintendo stuff, where I didn't need the N64 stuff yet. I felt it was overpriced. Not thinking this is overpriced. Nintendo's, I thought, was. But I'm like, right now, I'm like, with all the games I have to play in backlog, I'll probably just play what I have currently and not upgrade right away. But we'll see if they find something else to add in or to incentivize.
Mm-hmm. What about Priceless? You're PlayStation guy, right?
Yeah. I'd probably just see how it like goes with other people for a while and just stick with like the essentials. Cause I probably out of everyone, I probably game the least, just put them less amount of time in. So I'll probably see how it goes before I invest in that. Cause I enjoy just the two games as it is in the cloud storage and all that. So,
yeah, for me, it's not really gonna change. I'm just sticking with what I've always had, and I don't know. Maybe something will come around where, I can play Ragnarok for a month. I'll jump up to the high tier and pay $20 for a month of the high one to, you know, play through Ragnarok instead of spending $70. I might do that, but nothing right now is going to make me really change it. Nothing that's out there right now.
Luke, we all know for God of War, you are getting the highest collector's edition when it's announced.
I mean, probably in the tattoo on my chest.
Yes.
That follows shortly after.
Didn't you start rune tattoos before I left Utah?
No, that was my brother.
Oh, okay.
He had the Elvish for the Lord of the Rings on his forearm.
Okay, that's what I was thinking of.
Yep. Okay. So last news story before I do my little Sonic spiel, and then we talk about some games maybe that we're looking forward to playing, because I feel like we, for the most part, talked about what we've been playing, but we'll get that after this news story, which is E3 2022 digitally and physically canceled this year. Thoughts?
Rip E3. Is it ever coming back? It doesn't sound like it. I don't know.
That's sad, don't you think?
It is sad, but at the same time, I sort of look at it, I'm like, okay, we got EA Play, we've got Nintendo Direct, Sony's got their own thing, Microsoft has their own thing. And it's just with Microsoft acquiring all these studios, I think it makes less incentive to actually have an event like that. And it is sad because it's just so part of our culture as gamers. But I felt in the last couple of years, guys like Nintendo were holding announcements for their own events, which, fair enough, they probably should.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, I think it hurts indie developers more getting exposure.
Right. See, yeah. I feel that with because it just seems like it has been going downhill. And I feel like it was at the point when they opened up E3 to the public. And I don't know if this is just my headcanon on it, but it just felt like that, you know, E3 was meant for the press and you know, throwing out getting the hype machine going for projects coming out and getting, you know, game journalists to play these games. But the second, like, everyone could do it, the press stopped caring as much. The studios didn't seem to put out, you know, as much effort there. They just played the trailers for the games. But I love trailers for the games, don't get me wrong. But I can see with that type of mentality why they wouldn't just be like, okay, whatever, we'll just put up the trailers on our YouTube channel and on Twitter, and it'll get just as much traction as spending all this money to send everyone out there. But again, it is kind of like a bastion of gaming, right? Like that was the thing to go to. That was the thing to do. And then especially when it opened up to the public, there were people that were like, oh, I've been waiting my whole life to go to E3. And they did it for 3 years, and it's been nothing since then. I believe it was 2017 or 2018 that they finally opened it to the public.
Yeah.
And that sucks. And also, you guys know, I've spoke on this before, I live for the awkward, cringe game developers up there trying to, you know, do their best to get to land jokes and to do punchlines. I live for that.
The scripted jokes that are just,
yes,
or the
yes.
planted questions, like, oh, it's, mm-hmm. it's a lot of that's cringe.
Waiting for the awkwardly sexual something to come out of Todd Howard's mouth like that. Yeah. I live for that. But now we'll just have to watch him on videos, and you know, Microsoft isn't going to let him do that when it's something they can say, Hey, hold on. Let's cut that out. They have no control over a Todd Howard in the wild. That's my thoughts on it. I'm kind of bummed. I remember I loved watching the coverage of E3 that used to be on G4.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. I loved it, but can't really do that when everyone's launching their own, you know, separate thing later on.
Yeah, well, COVID kind of pushed us to that, right, in a way, to keep going. And then, yeah, it's kind of like we're losing, like, the New York Comic Con or New York Toy Con, Toy Fair, right? That, like, because all the outlets now, they have their own Instagram page or whatever, so they're all just pushing out their stuff through social medias at this point. There's, and it's cool, but it's also sad at the same time. There is something to be like in that room and seeing the reaction of like all these fanboys and girls, just getting excited over something in common. Right. Mm-hmm. So you don't get that when everybody's watching it at, you know, maybe everybody at work's on their phone at the same time. They're like, dude, look at that Metroid Prime 4 trailer. Well, it's a teaser, but hey, it's something. Working on it. We'll get it in like 8 years.
Well, it's almost like it's like how people are with like the Oscars and the Tonys. It's like it used to be a thing that was like, oh man, it's like this whole week is gonna be awesome. This week we can like see what's coming out, like get all the announcements.
And then you forget that it happened until something crazy happens.
Right. I think the worst is when like, and it felt like this the last couple of years, is like there was, yeah, I'm like kind of hounding Kotaku, and I'm like, there was like no big announcement. Like, it's just like, yo, like, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, as I said, like, it's like no Star Wars games being in it. It's just like, what is going on? I don't know. I feel like it's gone downhill, and I'm sad that it's going to be going away, it seems like. I think there's an opportunity, though, like I said, like the indie studios getting together for like an IndieCon gaming event.
Right. And I know we still have the like the PAX, right? PAX Northwest and all that stuff. And that is where I feel that the indie game developers are going to gravitate towards, because there's a few of them in different locations throughout the US at different times of the year. So it's more accommodating for indie developers to get to those locations. And so now that one is now the one that's up, up for me above going to E3.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you don't want any impressions of the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, this would be the time to bounce out. But it's just gonna be real quick. I got to go see the movie a little bit early, and if you liked the first one, you're going to love this one. You could play these movies back to back, and there would be no drop in entertainment or like visuals or anything like that. Like they found the formula that works for these movies, and I feel like they should stick with it, because it was entertaining. It was about 2 hours long. But I enjoyed, again, I am 100% the target market for this movie, so it should not be a surprise that I loved it. But the whole time I'm thinking, I'm like, my daughter is going to love this when I bring her to watch this. Like, she's going to lose it. And that's also their target market. So I think it's going to do well. I think it's going to do well. I mean, do you guys have any like questions about it that aren't going to be like super spoilery that I could maybe answer? Or?
I don't know what questions I could potentially ask, because I feel like I know exactly what I'm going to be getting when I watch that movie. Mm-hmm. It pretty much follows. I mean, like, there wasn't any real story except what was it printed in the manuals,
right? Sonic Bible.
Yeah, the Sonic Bible, but pretty much like it follows that image story of like Knuckles being on the side of Robotnik because he got
like fooled.
Fooled or something, yeah.
Yeah. They've portrayed in past, they've portrayed Knuckles one of two ways. Either he's really angsty and angry and quiet, or he's Piccolo, the big dumb idiot. Like those are the two ways that they have portrayed him. And in this, they portray him much more like, I described it as Worf from Star Trek meets Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy, where he's not dumb. He just doesn't know social cues, right? Like, he just doesn't know how to people very well. And I think this is a really good way to do Knuckles, like, going forward, if they want to put them in more, which they've already greenlit the third one, so it's happening.
Nice. I'm happy for that franchise. After all that backlash they got, I mean, I'm sure you guys talked about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was one of our most download. That was one of our most downloaded episodes, Mike. When you and I were debating whether changing Sonic would change my opinion of the movie.
I'm trying to remember exactly the nature of our argument, but I'm pretty sure I'm still of the opinion that they made the right call, and you would not be as big of a fan of the movie franchise because there wouldn't have been a second movie. I honestly think there would not have been.
I agree. Listen, I agree with that statement.
I'm a Daredevil fan, and I like the Ben Affleck Daredevil because it was all I had. So that is the boat I would be in. I would still enjoy it in a different, more like ironic way, but I would still enjoy it if it was weird human leg Sonic.
You know, it's an interesting thing that the whole, like, remember when Detective Pikachu came out and mm-hmm. there was all that talk about, like, I want to say that they asked the studio that was making Detective Pikachu and they were like, yeah, we don't know what's going on with those Sonic guys. Like, they were like totally kind of crapping on them.
And
they ended up changing the whole thing and making it look more what the fan base wanted. And I got to tell you, I took my kids to both movies, and my kids much preferred Sonic. All just night and day. They couldn't even recall anything that happened in Detective Pikachu at this point. So yeah. I don't know. I think it was a huge win for them to change everything.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's good for video game movies as a whole that these like Detective Pikachu was still a good movie. like Detective Pikachu and Sonic, I feel like we need more of that, less Monster Hunter when it comes to our video game movies.
Well,
as
and
in
I think
quality.
And I think another thing too is that I think a big win that like Detective Pikachu had out of the gate versus like Sonic, like especially at least like design wise, is that they actually, because if like even before like Detective Pikachu, if you've ever seen like the realistic like artwork, like the realistic Pokemon, mm-hmm. they actually got that guy and like brought him on board, because and actually had somebody who actually had experience making Pokemon like look more realistic. So I think at least on a design like level, they had that win because they actually brought right. someone who knew how to do it versus just let's make this interpretation and make him way too like human.
Right.
I think right. the Pokemons looked good. Yeah. I just felt like the movie was just more fun for Sonic. Like it was just yeah. less dreary and.
Yeah, I think the downfall, it was just, and like I know everyone loves like Ryan Reynolds, but like they made that movie to Ryan Reynolds for a Pokemon movie.
Yeah, that's basically, yeah, that's what a great read. Yeah, that's exactly yeah. what it is.
Yeah.
And then James Marsden, like, he doesn't, you know, he's great. Oh, yeah. He's fine.
Yeah, he's awesome. They do, and the another thing in this is, like, usually when you have the CGI animated type characters interacting with humans, mm-hmm. like, maybe the human CGI interaction is good, but then like the human to human interaction isn't great. Like sometimes I feel like in these movies that's what happens. The human to human interaction in Sonic is just as good, if not better than the other interactions. They give a lot of characters a lot more to do from the first one, like the sister that they go visit in San Francisco. She has a much bigger role in this and she's hilarious. And it's just it's great. I really, really, really want to talk to you guys about it after it officially comes out and after you've seen it, because there's a lot more to get into. But this is just, you know, skimming the surface type info on it.
Answer me this question. Mm. Did Olive Garden pump the pockets of Paramount like they did for the first movie? Do you know what I'm referring to?
Oh, the did you know it's funny that there was absolutely no sponsored stuff from Olive Garden.
Just are you serious?
Yeah, the writers just like Olive Garden.
Are you and wait? Are you wait? You're
dead.
That's
yeah, dead
legitimate.
Serious. Yeah, that's legitimate. They're like we didn't. We would like to take money from Olive Garden, but we have zero.
I
we just
totally
like Olive Garden.
Thought Olive Garden pumped money into the studio because it felt like a commercial for Olive Garden.
It's just the one character. and they do bring back the Olive Garden joke.
Because it was like, did you ever try their never ending pasta bowl? It never ends. It really felt
yeah.
like it was written by.
Yeah,
like
no. They talked to the writers about that, and they're like, "No, we just legitimately like Olive Garden." So, but yeah, okay. So let's wrap up by: is there any game that you guys have been playing, or you're excited to play coming out in the next few days? Yeah.
Who do you want to start the conversation?
You. You just
Me?
Spoke. Yeah.
I am
just Elden Ring.
Yeah, I'm just excited for Elden Ring. I am convinced this is the game I'm going to be with for a while.
Well, you're getting serious.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm committed. Final Fantasy 14. I'll probably jump to when I need a break from Elden Ring. So I'm excited to get into Endwalker, which has been out for like 6 months. Aside from that, I'm just kind of excited to pick up all of the games that I have ditched because I can't stand the fact that Uncanny Raya makes fun of me about that. So I will be jumping back into those.
Don't let him
soon.
Control your gaming habits, sir.
Yeah, he does. he has more power over me than he lets on. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
All right. What about you, Urs?
So we got Lego Star Wars dropping tonight, tomorrow. So I will be hitting that pretty hard on stream. And then one thing I'm really looking forward to in May is Sons of the Force. I don't know if you guys play survival games at all. Huge fan of the original Forest game, and excited to see Sons of the Forest come out. I think that's like at the end of May. So that's my immediate horizon. I'll probably squeeze in a New Game Plus Elden Ring playthrough after Lego Star Wars while waiting up till Sons of the Forest.
Okay. What about you, Priceless?
I don't think I have anything new that like I'm kind of looking forward to, but I'm definitely more like into like getting a little more into Elden Ring and like actually getting into it versus just kind of skimming it right now. So,
okay. Captain,
I just finished Life is Strange. I don't know if it's Square Enix did that one. It was pretty enjoyable. I needed something different after Horizon.
Enjoyable? That game's sad.
It is sad, but I enjoyed myself. Like it wasn't like I didn't know how I would do with like a Telltale type game.
This,
right?
This trauma is amazing.
Oh my gosh. Like,
I'm sick of the head, okay? Like, I really... No, like, I wasn't sure how I would enjoy the story. I saw those 5 episodes. I was like, I wanted to get something in that I could finish before Lego. And I wasn't ready to start Elden Ring. And I was letting that install. And I was like, well, let me just try this. And the first episode, yeah, like, it was... Like, it just takes a turn after the first one. I was like, okay, I kind of see where... Like, and then, yeah, like, yeah, it gets... Yeah, definitely emotional at certain points. So, yeah.
The first one, that's with Rachel. Is that right? They're looking for Rachel.
Yeah. You're looking for Rachel.
It's got a cool mechanic. The time travel mechanic is super neat, and it's well acted. The voice acting is superb.
Yeah, there was like a point in like the final episode where like the voice acting and the mouth moving is totally off, and I don't know if that's like the PS4 to PS5 port or whatever. But other than that, it was really well done. Like everything synced up. The hard part was like finding all the bottles in the one area. I was like, where the hell is this final freaking bottle? And then I finally found it. But yeah, I thought they did a really good job with the story. I wasn't sure really what to expect going into it. Cause I tried Telltale, The Walking Dead, and it was okay. And I probably was just the mindset I was in. So taking what I had there to go into this, that's where I was like, oh, let's see if I'll enjoy it. And right. Yeah, I finished it. I did 2, 3, 4, and 5 on Thursday, Friday. So,
I would suggest it if you do if you did like that the Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit is another it's in that same universe.
Okay. And it's, I know there's a really there's the sequel and the prequel, right? There's right, the right. Beyond before the
Colors, I believe True Colors or something like that.
Yeah. So there's that so that's done. I started Elden Ring. I want to, dive into that. Plus Lego Star Wars, I'll probably pick up tomorrow after work. And I'm still playing through Arceus Legends. And I think I sent you guys the website where I think it's if you want to get the Pokemon in Diamond and Pearl, you have to like beat the main story of this game before the end of the month. Mm. And then you can, if you have that save file, then you can get those in the Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl.
Okay.
I have to be careful. Pat's not on because it's right. She always says BDSM, and I'm like, it's BDSB. Yeah. BDSB.
she's trained us.
But yeah, and then I do want to finish Ori and the Blind Forest. I've got that sitting here, and I was like, oh yeah, I need to go back, and I'm almost
very done. Pretty game. Very
yeah, pretty I really game. I enjoyed that game too. So
yeah. See, I think the one that I like the sports games. So the new baseball game. The show 22 comes out tomorrow, the 5th, April 5th, and it's on Game Pass, which it still blows my mind that a PlayStation Studios game is day one on Xbox Game Pass, but hey, why not? So that's really the one I've been looking forward to. And I do think I'm going to try and do a stream going through all of the new changes that came out with the newest patch on Star Wars, The Old Republic, and the big overhaul that they just did a little bit ago with the new class system, start a new character and then just work it that way. And then kind of show the differences between some of my old gameplay and the way it is now. But yeah, that's about it for me.
Are you going to finish Immortals Fenyx Rising? I know we're trying to wrap up, but I was curious because you started that, and I was curious if you were actually going to play Dungeon Master Mike and forget about it, or are you going to keep playing it?
No. I'm going to keep playing that one. That's a very fun game, and the humor in it is great. There's a like you play for a long time, and then all of a sudden the like you have Zeus and oh, I cannot remember the name, Greek deity that's stuck on the rock and has the Prometheus, right? Is that correct? I can't remember. They're narrating the story, and it gets to a point, and then the credits roll, and Zeus goes, "Oh my God, that was the prologue? How long is this game?" The humor in it is just on point.
Nice.
So let's go ahead and do some plugs for our other projects we have. And Urs, since you're the guest, we'll start with you.
Oh, I just want to say thanks for having me, guys. This is a great conversation, and happy to do this again another time if you'll have me back. I stream Tuesday through Saturday on Twitch, just twitch.tv/Urz, URZZZ. That's it.
Awesome. You can find me over on Nerd Dome Podcast. Episodes are every Wednesday. It's me and Uncanny Ryab talking comics and a lot of tangential content with here, but lots of fun stuff over there. Anyone else have anything before we wrap it up?
I beat the Lord of Blasphemy.
Huzzah!
I'm dancing on his grave right now as we speak. I just also would like to promote some friends of the podcast. Chelsea Noel, Go to Hell. She babysat my dog for months. So, they're awesome. Listen to them too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, Captain.
Hey everybody. It's that time. It's time to get out here and we shall game harder. We'll catch you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.